Sam, thank you very much for leading us tonight in these great songs of encouragement and admonition. And we want to welcome all of you tonight. I regret that we have so many people out. You know, that's kind of summer months. But we have a lot of people that are sick, a lot of people that are out of town on vacation. But anyway, we want to pray for their safety, and we want to acknowledge the fact that you're here tonight. And we appreciate all of you that have made the effort to come and be a part of our worship service here tonight. I mentioned this morning that I was going to speak on the subject of hell tonight. I know that's not a very popular popular subject with most preachers. Maybe it's been a long time since you heard what they call a hellfire and brimstone sermon. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Bible says. I would be remiss if I talked to you about heaven and never mentioned hell, never talked about the opposite direction that people often take in their lives, and many times they do. We would like to think that all of us are going to go to that place of somewhere that Sam was singing about a moment ago, and that somewhere being heaven. But we know not everyone is going to live in the eternal city that we call heaven itself. There are three things that I specifically want to mention to you tonight about hell. First of all, people ask questions like, is hell real or is hell eternal? There is a very popular theory that is circulating among religious circles tonight that tells us that hell is not eternal. But that it's just temporal, that if you lose your soul in a devil's hell, it will only be a place of temporal punishment. But now that may be a theory, all right, with some people, but that's not what the Bible actually teaches. The Bible actually conveys unto us that hell is eternal. It is eternal. It is described as the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a burning, perpetual burning place that God has reserved for the wicked and those who fail to honor Him with their lives. Is hell eternal? It is eternal, according to the Bible. Some people choose to believe that hell actually is illogical, that it would be illogical for God to punish someone if they just committed a few sins, and to make them spend an eternity in this terrible, horrible place of torment. But the Bible is not a logical book. There are so many things, and I've told you that many, many times. Jesus never dealt necessarily with the logical, but he often dealt with those things that we consider to be illogical. Well, with all of that in mind, what is hell like? Well, I want to explain to you tonight really what the Bible teaches about it, not the theories of men or what they have relegated hell to be, but I want to talk to you about what hell is. The poet said, hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature that we love so well. No comforts of home, no music or song, no friendship will be found in that eternal throne. No children to brighten the long, weary night, no love nor peace nor one ray of light, no mercy, no pity, pardon or grace, no water, O God, what a terrible place. And the pangs of the loss no human can tell, for there's no moment of ease nor rest in hell. But here, hell is the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in His Word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering, and pain. Weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers and swearers and haters of God and Christ's rejecters while here on earth trod. Murderers and gamblers and drunkards and liars will all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the mean, what a terrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than the humans on earth can tell are the torments and the woes of an eternal hell. I believe with all of my heart that God has prepared a place for the devil and his angels, and the devil is working today among people. If you don't believe that, open up the newspaper, take a look at television and the news. Most people don't like the news because it's so bad, it's so depressing, but it really tells us in reality what hell is going to be like. Can you imagine spending an eternity in a place called hell with all of the immoral, the ungodly? I just can't imagine it. I certainly would not want to do that. But hell is called the prison house of despair. Well, what does hell look like? I would tell you foremost, there is a place called hell. And the wicked will be going there, for in the book of Psalms 9 and verse 17, David said the wicked will be in hell. They will be there. You'll be around. You know, sometimes you may not like people here in this world, and they may not necessarily be wicked, but if you were around all of the most immoral and ungodly people you could ever imagine, that is what hell is like. And many are in danger of going there. For Christ taught in Matthew chapter 7, "Why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, if you're not going to serve me?" And he says, many will go into this place that we call hell. It's not enough to call yourself a Christian. We must live like a Christian. We must honor God, or else be in danger of losing our soul in an eternal hell that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 22. It is referred to also in the Bible as a furnace of fire, according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 24 through 42. I know I go pretty fast in my declaration of the Word of God, and I would suggest to you, and I've told you often, to be sure and check out these references. You might just jot down the scripture. You may not be able to write down the whole verse tonight, but you can check out the scriptures and verify that what I am telling you is true from the Bible. It is called the place of everlasting punishment in Matthew chapter 25. You remember when Jesus said that he would say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." He says, "Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was in prison, and you didn't minister to me. I was sick, and you didn't come to me." And they said, "Lord, when did we see you that way?" And he said, "Because you didn't do it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've not done it unto me. And these shall go away into eternal damnation." I'm convinced, whether you believe it or not, or whether you accept it, or those who may be listening by the internet tonight, whether you accept it or not does not negate the fact that hell is real. And it is referred to in the Bible, in the book of Mark 9, verse 43 and following, as an unquenchable fire. You know what it means to be unquenchable? You know, we know what it is if we're thirsty and we want to get a drink of water to quench our thirst so we're not thirsty. Hell is the place of unquenchable fire. You cannot put it out. And it is real. In Jude verse 7, that little book over right before the book of Revelation refers to the suffering, the vengeance of God when you are in hell. It's referred to also in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7 through 10 as the place of eternal destruction. There's a passage I used this morning, and I want to use that again tonight because it helps to understand what I'm talking about. And it's found here in 2 Thessalonians. And he says, "To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven," now notice this, "in flaming fire," that's how he's going to come, folks, "taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Let me read it for you here, and you can shift your eyes up here. And like I said, you can always jot down the passage. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. The reason they may have been troubled is the fact that they'd heard about hell. They'd heard Jesus talk about it. Paul's writing to a church over in Thessalonica about it. They had heard about hell. Christ has referred to it. But now, he's getting a little bit more specific. When Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Notice there are two different groups here. Those that know not God and those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we talk about the fact that hell is a place of punishment, how do we know that? Look in verse 9. Who shall be punished with eternal, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified with his saints and to be admired of all of them that believe, he says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Christ is coming again to be glorified. And he's even going to be glorified by calling vengeance upon those who have rejected him here in this life. And you have trodden the blood of the covenant under your foot. Hebrews chapter 1. There is a place called hell. It's referred to by Paul in the book of Hebrews 10, verse 26, as a place of fiery indignation, separation from God. That's why he says that we're to admonish one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. For if we sin willfully, he writes in Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. You see, the only hope that we have is applying the blood of Jesus Christ to our life. And that happens the moment that we are baptized into Christ. And as a Christian, when we pray about it, in 1 John 1, verse 7, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, down in verse 9. But he says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. You know, when you look at our world today, it has become more grossly immoral, hasn't it? The things that we even talk about today, the things that we read about are so horrendous and so ungodly as even to mention it. Do you know the Bible, we don't even blush anymore. Do you know the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the fact that the time came when they did not blush anymore when those certain things were talked about. You know, we used to blush a lot of times. People bring up something. If someone talked about homosexuality, people would blush. Or transgenderism, or things of that nature. Or things that were so ungodly, we blush, but we don't blush anymore. It's so common. That doesn't make it right, though, folks. It doesn't. Even the advertisements on television. I would hate to be in the living room with my grandchildren when some of the commercials come on for television. Hell is a place of fiery indignation and separation from God. And if you don't believe that we're going to be tormented forever, flip over to the book of Revelation 14 and verse 10, where John talks about a forever torment. And isn't it interesting that in the book of Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, John recalls this place, the place of eternal death. Have you ever been with people when they were dying? I was with Monty Todd this week when he was dying. I've been with a lot of people when they were dying. And for the Christian, I've told you this before, for the child of God, there is no fear in death. You welcome it. As I've told you this morning, there are so many things to die for. We have everything to die for and nothing to live for. That's why Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's far better for me to go and be with God than it is for me to live in this world. Well, let me read this passage for you in the book of Revelation 20. John says, "And I saw the great white throne," that's the throne of the Almighty, "and he says, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." They're going to be destroyed, you remember, according to 2 Peter. He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Doesn't matter how prominent you are. Doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter. The real relationship with Christ is the only thing at that moment that will really matter. So he says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Have you ever wondered about the books being opened? What books? I mean, I understand that the Bible is going to be opened because the book of John 12 and 48 says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, he shall be judged in the last day." So I know the Bible is going to be open before God and before you and before me. We're all going to be answering to what the Bible has to say. We'll give an account. Now, there's another thing. There's another book, and that is the book of Deeds that actually Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and following. He says, "For we must give an account for all things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad." That's another book, isn't it? The book of Deeds. And the book that we call the Biblios, or the Bible itself. And then there's going to be another book that is going to be open. If you read on just a little bit further, he said the books were open and another book was open. And he defines it. And he said, "Which is the book of life." You see, when you became a Christian, God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the role of heaven. It is. I had a young lady this last week that we studied with, and she was baptized into Christ. Shannon, we're so thankful that you're here tonight, and we praise God for the decision that you made to become a Christian. At that moment, when you were raised out of water baptism, God added your name to the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what he's talking about here. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever..." Important passage, folks. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know what he's saying? All non-baptized believers, that's who he's talking about. Really, whether you believe or you don't believe. If you haven't experienced New Testament baptism, then you're not ready because your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may think it is. You may hope that it is when you die. But if you die as a non-Christian, you will die as you lived. Well, let's look at a second thing here, hurriedly. Who is going to hell? You know, people are always telling one another to do that. But who is going to hell? The alien sinner, Matthew 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." That's why he said back in this Matthew 7 chapter, back up about verse 13, he said, "Strive to enter into the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it." Listen to that. Christ said, "Few are going to heaven." Don't you want to be among the few? I do. I want to solidify my relationship with God. But if we don't obey the gospel, 1 Peter 4, and purifying our souls by the truth, as he mentioned in the passage I mentioned a moment ago, then we're not ready to stand before God. There's so much hypocrisy in the world today. People live hypocritical lives. They come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, and they wear a face. They do. A lot of times people enter into a house of worship somewhere, and it's amazing how their demeanor can change from a Sunday to a Monday. They go back to the old way of life come Monday morning, and they start cursing and taking God's name in vain. They start living in ways that are not redemptive. They start living in ways that God has condemned, and they believe that they're going to heaven anyway. Who is going to hell? The Bible says the fearful, the unbelieving. Listen to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth in fire and brimstone. You know, Jesus told many parables in his lifetime and in his 3 1/3 year of ministry. In Matthew 25, he told a parable about the unprofitable servant and how he was lost. And even he mentioned and reminded them of those who would pervert the word of God. You know what that means, to pervert it? We understand perversion today. It means to change it, doesn't it? We got all these folks that are wanting to transgender today. I've never understood that. I'm thankful God made me the way I am, and I accept that, folks, and I'm not interested in changing it. I'm accepting me the way God made me. But there are those who would pervert God's arrangement. But they would also pervert the word. You know what that means? It means they would go in and they would dissect the word of God, and they would just change it all up to say something that they wanted it to say that it did not say. They were kind of like Jehoiakim in the Old Testament, the king, who would actually take the word of God and take a penknife, kind of like our little X-Acto knives, and he just cut away portions of that book to get rid of it. Not only did he get rid of it, the Bible says he tossed it in the fire. He wanted to burn it up. Now, let me tell you something. You could take all the Bibles in the world and burn them, but you don't destroy the truth of God. Revelation 22 says that we're not to add to the Word of God. Think about it. You can't pervert God's Word and be right with God. We're not to add to the word of God, nor are we to take away from the word of God, lest our name, here it is, lest our name be taken out of the Lamb's book of life and the plagues added to our lives. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. It is a dangerous thing to pervert the word. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Well, let's move on. Number 3, things not found in hell. Did you know there's not going to be any light in hell? No. Heaven is described as the city of light. He is the light, Jesus is. He is the Son, the S-O-N, who will light heaven. It will be the city of light. It's not Las Vegas, but it's heaven, folks. It's heaven. But in hell, there will be no light. Outer darkness. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in outer darkness? Remember the story about the little girl who went with her parents one time to Carlsbad Cavern? Some of you may have been there. How they take you and get you down in that cave, and they turn all the lights out, and you are lost. You cannot see anything. This little girl looked up at her mom and started crying. She was afraid. And the mother looked down at her and said, "Hun, don't cry. There's a man upstairs who can turn the lights on. And there's only one tonight who can turn the lights on, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Amen. He is the only one. There'll be no mercy in hell. God is a merciful God here, but there'll be no mercy in hell. Not according to what Christ taught in the book of Luke 16 with the rich man, when he wanted mercy, and he failed to give mercy. If you remember the beautiful Beatitudes, one of them is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This rich man of Luke 16 had no time for mercy for a man named Lazarus. And now God is unmerciful to him. No mercy. Oh God, what a terrible place. No water. The rich man wanted God to send Lazarus with water on his hand where he could just touch his tongue because it was tormented in the flame. And God said, there is a great gulf that is fixed between heaven and hell, and you cannot get to heaven from where you are, nor can heaven get to you where you are. There is a great gulf that is fixed. There are a lot of things that are not found in hell, the earthly possessions that you have. That rich man left everything in Luke 16. He didn't take anything with him. He may have left a will. I don't know whether he did or not, but I know one thing. It won't be yours. You'll lay it aside right here. The same thing was true with a man in Luke chapter 12. He wanted to tear down his barns and build bigger barns where he could bestow all of his goods and his hay and things of that nature. And God said, you are a fool. For this night your soul shall be required of you. You will not be able to move about freely in hell. You won't. That's what God said about it again in Luke 16 with that story of the rich man. He couldn't send Lazarus to him. He couldn't move about freely. There was no communication in hell. Do you know, isn't that amazing? When we read in the Bible, nowhere do we ever read that when people were lost in hell that they ever communicated with each other. No communication. You know, we try to communicate to each other. If you don't believe it, you look at people when they leave here. The first thing they do is get on their cell phone to see if somebody called that they could communicate with. But there will be no communication in hell. None whatsoever. You won't have a desire for your friends, not according to Luke 16:28. No. No unbelievers, by the way, in hell, according to Isaiah 45. You know why? They suddenly become believers when they die and they go to hell. Romans 14. There'll be no faithful Christians in hell, but they'll be in heaven. That's why the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There are no faithful Christians. Maybe some unfaithful Christians in hell, probably will be, but not faithful ones. And listen to this. I don't know how many times you've heard invitation appeal to come to Christ, to become a Christian, and you've spurned it and you've rejected it. And do you realize that if you go to hell, there will never, you will hear your last invitation this side of eternity. You won't hear it in hell. You won't. How long will the lost be there? They will burn in hell forever and forever. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. The terror of the Lord. You know, most people are concerned about global warming. People talk about that all the time. That's why they came up with the Green New Deal. What a farce. According to the Bible. But I think more people are more concerned about things of that nature than they are the coming of Jesus Christ again. He is coming again. And the thing that really matters, as I mentioned this morning, as to whether or not you go to heaven, is if you have made preparation to go there. Paul in Romans 11 and verse 22, therefore consider the goodness, now listen to the rest of it, the severity of God. You know what the severity of God is? That's the horrible consequences of your sin. on those who fail severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And there's that passage again, telling us why it's so important for us to know God. You know, we talk about the gates of heaven a lot, don't we? We talk about the pearly gates of heaven. We talk about the jasper walls. We talk about the streets of gold. But for some reason, people think hell is just going to go away if you don't talk about it. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's incumbent upon me to do it. I would be a failure as a preacher of the gospel if I didn't warn you about the consequences of ungodly living. I want to go through this gate someday and to enter into life eternal, to be able to dwell in the presence of my Savior and my Lord. But it is dependent upon what I do. I would urge you tonight, please don't go to hell. For those of you here and those of you that may be listening on our website or the internet, don't, and it's all up to you. You make that choice that has to be made. You can't blame anyone for your destiny. You may go through life blaming people for all kinds of things, but I'm telling you, if you go to hell, you cannot blame anyone but self. But self. That's true. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that you would surrender under our Lord and our Savior by confessing Christ as Savior and Lord and repenting of your sins and being immersed in water baptism and then living faithful all the days of your life, that when God calls you home, you won't have a big question mark over your life, but there will be an exclamation mark saying, I'm saved. I made it. While we stand and while we sing.